Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. Kim on a whim.
So this weekend I watched the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson for the very first time. You know, I was telling you not that long ago that I'd been doing history with my parents. You know, every Wednesday I would go to their house and we would do a Bible study and then we would do history because you learn it in high school, and I didn't care back then, and now I care, and it means so much more to me, and it saddens me that I have forgotten so much of just basic history. So I was in the process of just going over stuff, and it was really fun to be able to talk about some of that stuff and relearn some of these things. And so I think some of these movies have more of an impact on me now, having gone over a lot of this, and just, gosh, watching the destruction, that just how ruthless the British were. And burning these people homes. And I know this is Hollywooded up, but I'm sure a lot of this happened. And I just, you know, I watch movies like that, and I don't remember what year The Patriot came out, but it was years ago, right? And I just think about classic... 90, was it 90s?
91, 92, right, something like that, Carl. Carl will tell us in a minute.
You guys have both seen that movie, right?
Oh, my God. Many times.
It's a great movie.
It's one of the movies that I'll stop and watch again, like Braveheart or Rocky, if I'm
2000.
Switching around.
2000.
Was it 2000?
Okay. Heath Ledger was still alive.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah. I don't know how old Heath Ledger was in that movie, Gabriel, but he was phenomenal in that. And I every time I watch a movie like that, I just think about how sad I am at the state of Hollywood right now. And I know I've talked about this before, but I was reminded of that yesterday. And I don't watch the Grammys. I have no interest in any of those award shows. But of course, everyone's posting about it and you see the headlines. And one of the headlines that caught my attention was Kanye West and his wife, who showed up to the Grammys last night. They walked
nude.
The red carpet they left. Well, I heard that, I don't know if this is true. You never really know what's true, but the article I read was, no, they weren't really kicked out, because I would think that would qualify as indecent exposure. That should not have been allowed. You should not be allowed to walk completely naked on a red carpet. That is entirely inappropriate.
She had a piece of clothing on.
It was completely sheer.
I saw it.
She was naked. There was nothing that you couldn't see.
Well, I mean, I think the definition of naked is that you don't have anything on. She had something on.
She had something on, but it didn't matter because you could see everything as if she were naked.
The loosest definition of clothing.
Yes.
Possible.
Let's not use that terminology right now, but go ahead, please.
I mean, you guys have heard me talk about modesty and just how saddened I am at the state of how people dress, how women dress, and feeling like you need to expose everything and that somehow increases your value and it actually decreases your value and it tells people how you want to be treated. And, you know, I didn't feel that way years ago, and I've changed my stance on that. And I just, you know, Donald Trump had named Mel Gibson, which is why I was kind of thinking about all of this, but he named Mel Gibson, remember, and Sylvester Stallone, and then was it John Voight as ambassadors to Hollywood. And I was listening to an interview that Mel Gibson did with Sean Hannity recently, and it was kind of funny because Gibson says, yeah, I found out at the same time as you guys. It wasn't like Trump reached out to me beforehand. I basically found out, on Twitter or wherever it was, you know, Truth Social, that he was ambassador to Hollywood. And it sounds like the main purpose of that role, although it's not super clear at this point, but is really to get people to stop leaving Hollywood, to get people to stop leaving California because of all these crazy regulations and crazy prices people are paying for everything there. I mean, people can't afford it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I thought his role would be to try to turn around the wokeness, because if you go woke, you go broke. I mean, Hollywood should have learned that lesson, but they haven't. They keep turning out multi-million-dollar movies that never make any money at the box office because people know it's just garbage.
That was my hope, and maybe that's a component to it, but what he was talking about was stopping people from leaving California. So that surprised me a little bit. To your point, Mark, I mean, that is what I'm hoping for. When I look at the Grammys and the direction we're going with our movies and these classic films that are just trash now, many of them, not all of them, there have been some phenomenal movies that have come out that I think will be considered classics at some point. But I'm just sad just watching what comes out these days. But anyway, I want you to hear part of this interview. And this just goes to show you how backwards it is of people who are trying to invest in the United States, specifically in California, and they make it so darn difficult.
I mean, I had to shoot a film for one day in L.A., and it was cheaper for me to take the whole crew and fly them to Europe and shoot for 3 days, lodge them, fly them, everything, than it was to shoot one day just down the road. So
what?
There's something wrong there. And I think there are solutions. I know Arnold tried to level the playing field years ago. He couldn't do it because there were obstacles. He tried, though.
Isn't that sad? It was cheaper for him to fly his entire crew and pay for lodging to go to Europe for a few days.
To shoot.
Cheaper than one day of shooting basically in their backyard.
Is that because of regulations and expenses?
Yeah, all the stupid things that
California...
Union fees
and all that stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and Gibson, by the way,
SAG-AFTRA.
Just lost his... It is. He just lost his home, by the way, in the fire.
He's a member of SAG-AFTRA.
Well, you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You really don't have a choice. And I think a lot of these actors have been speaking out and frustrated probably with the way things have been going down.
Yeah.
Something needs to change. There's just so much that's gone wrong in Hollywood, in California, in our country as a whole. And you were playing that soundbite earlier that Trump's not doing anything that he didn't promise on the campaign trail.
That's a good point.
You know, I understand if you're mad about this, if you don't like Donald Trump and you voted for Kamala, I completely understand why this is very frustrating. Just like the 1,000 or so people who were out there protesting here in the streets of St. Louis on Saturday, mad about his immigration policies and what he's been doing to try to close our border. But you shouldn't be surprised by it. You know, again, I empathize if you're angry, but I do not if you're surprised. You should not be caught off guard by this.
No, you shouldn't. And Kim, I just want to point something out here before we run out of time. Did you realize that The Patriot is a love story?
Of course you're going to try to. It is kind of a love story.
It is a love story. And you know, the other message from that movie that is should be very relevant to every big stater out there, everybody who thinks bigger government is always the answer, is that Americans from their beginnings can only be pushed so far. And then the Patriots stand up and they say no more.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Gibson in that movie was a perfect example of that. He didn't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
He had put away his axes and all that from the Indian Wars and all that. He'd put all that stuff in a chest and had it locked until they came in and they murdered his wife and his child, and that pushed him over the edge, and then he went on a tear. And it may not all be exactly historical, but it's a great representation of the character of the men who founded this country.
Mm-hmm.
The men and women.
And I think that's where we're going. I think a lot of people who may never have been involved in politics, wanted nothing to do with politics, they've realized that it's on their front door now. It's affecting their kids. It's affecting what they're learning. It's affecting every facet of their life. And so it's kind of like the situation with Mel Gibson, where it's, for so long it was okay to maybe say, well, I'm not saying it was right, but maybe we're sitting there saying, you know, we don't want to get involved. It's too stressful. I don't want to have to deal with that and go to city council meetings and go to the school board meetings. But it's on our front porch. And we basically have to get out there and fight. And I really hope it doesn't come down to violence, but you can only get pushed around so much, and the Biden administration was getting a lot of people to their breaking point.
I think you're right. The voter, it was reflected in the voters. Look what the Democrats did this weekend. They had a competition for the new leaders of the DNC. Now, this is the party of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
They're so crazy that, I don't want to change the subject here, but they're so crazy that during the debate, they have rules where you have to have gender equality in the slate of candidates. And at the end of all of that, of them all getting up and exclaiming their wokeness and why you should support me for vice chair or me for chair, they ended up selecting two white men to run the DNC. One of them from the director of the Minnesota State Democratic Party, a guy I've never heard of before. And for associate chair, vice chair, they picked David Hogg, that nut job, that anti-gun nut job from the Parkland school shooting in Florida, who wasn't there that day, who didn't get shot or anything, but he's been a big anti-gunner since that happened. And this 25-year-old, or however old he is now, is the one they selected to be the vice chair. So they still don't get, to your point, they still don't understand. They still don't get what happened in November.
Well, yeah, I mean, Trump didn't just win the electoral vote. He won the popular vote. So
he did. People are tired of it.
People are tired of it. More than half the country wants this, and people don't want to believe that because they just look at this as, well, you have to be empathetic, and in their mind, I call it toxic empathy, but that means allowing anyone into our country,
anyone.
And that's just a lie.
I watched over the weekend, I'm not going to mention names, I got into it with a liberal over the... they were complaining about, you know, how evil Trump is and how he hates trans people and he's messing with Canada now. And they showed a picture of Justin Trudeau and they can't believe he did this. And I'm like, here's my message to you. I'm like a pilot on an airplane. The fasten seatbelt sign is on. If you're a liberal, the fasten seatbelt sign is on. Just sit down and fasten your seatbelt because there's nothing you can do about it. And for 4 years, we're going to try to reset this country back to common sense. And every little thing can't drive you crazy or you're going to get up out of your seat and try to jump off the airplane.
Well,
don't do that.
They're acting like we didn't feel this way for the last 4 years. Yeah. Like we just endured this. And you know what? We got through.
That's right. We survived
it. You will survive too.
And it will no doubt go back the other way at some point. But for now, we're going to try to get some stuff accomplished.
Get more at 971talk.com.